Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on May 2nd. Now, we've had reporters at counts across the county, so we will be bringing you election coverage. We've also spoken to a local business ahead of Rochester Sweeps Festival, which is taking place this long weekend, and we'll hear from the Gillingham camp as they get ready for the final game of the season. But first, let's get stuck into the election. We'll start with how the results are coming in nationally. Reform UK are celebrating big victories. Their candidate has been elected as the first mayor of Greater Lincolnshire. They've also won the Runcorn and Helsby by-election, which was called after the previous MP, Mike Amesby, was convicted for punching a constituent. It's a trend we're watching very closely here in Kent as the result will decide who's in charge of the county council. At the time of recording our podcast, we've had just one result confirmed. Gravesham Tories leader Jordan Mead lost his seat to Reform's Diane Morton. She took 45% of the vote. Elsewhere, we've heard from local democracy reporter Robert Boddy, who's at the county in
I'm here at the Swale count for the KCC by-elections. I've spoken to a couple of the candidates so far. Richard Palmer, who's for the Reform Party, says he's hopeful, but he doesn't want to speak too soon about Reform's chances here. He's very pleased with the way the successes of Reform elsewhere in the country, and he'd like to see an outright Reform majority on the council, but he's not too keen on a coalition, so depending on how the results play out, that may be an indication of whether Reform goes into coalition with somebody else or whether that may be an attack line for when other parties try to go into coalition. I've also spoken to Mike Baldock, who is also running for the Swale West seat. He's much less optimistic. He thinks he's going to be washed away with the sort of wave of support for Reform. There's a lot of people are basically using these local elections as a stick to beat Keir Starmer with and show how unhappy they are with the current government. And he says that basically people will find out that maybe that's not as wise a decision, in his opinion. And with that, he says that, you know, if the Labour government or other parties don't get their act together before the next general election, he believes that we could be seeing a government form after that general election. However, he does say that the KCC election or the various council elections across the country may be a double-edged sword for Reform, because he believes that when they get in to run something based upon previous actions of UKIP when they controlled a council in Kent, he believes that they'll become very unpopular quickly. And so May the 3rd may be the beginning of the end for Reform.
Kent Online reporter Dee Lukasik has been at County Hall in Maidstone.
Things are moving slowly but steady here, and no one is quite sure what to expect just yet. We are keeping eye on Reform UK. They've been doing very well in other parts of the country, but whatever that trend will be reflected here in Kent, we have to wait.
For all the latest updates, you can follow the live tracker at Kent Online. We've got interactive maps and comprehensive reports on all the latest developments. You can also listen in to our sister station, KMFM, who will be giving you live updates in their bulletins. But while we may not know the whole picture yet, and there are some people suggesting it could be days until we have a clear winner, we've been speaking to our local democracy reporter, Dan Essen. Nicola's been asking him why these elections are so significant.
Well, it's very important. First of all, it's probably going to be the last election ever fought for Kent County Council. It's being abolished, as are all the district councils as well, in the next 3 years. So the councillors elected now are going to be the last tranche of councillors ever elected to KCC, and they'll be responsible for managing essentially its restructure into a set of unitary authorities. But the results are basically going to be taken as a barometer for the record of the government. It's the first set of local elections since the Labour Party won a huge majority at the general election last year. There's been a lot of interest in the success of particularly Reform UK, led by Nigel Farage, which... basically, this election is going to be treated as a test of their public support in particular, and of essentially of the unpopularity of the government. And the most recent polling predicting stuff at a local level in particular says that in Kent, this polling by electoral calculus says that in Kent, Reform UK are likely to be the largest party and probably in a position to take control.
That would be, would it be a shock? I don't know. I mean, it would be quite a... quite an upset, wouldn't it, for the traditional parties, I guess, to not be in control of the authority going forward?
Yeah, definitely. So Kent County Council has been under permanent Conservative hegemony basically since it was created in 1974. There was a brief period in the 1990s for about 5 years where it was under no overall control and no one had a majority. But then since 1997, again, the Tories have run KCC. So it'd be definitely a change for them to no longer be in power at the County Council. And it would be probably disappointing for the Labour Party to not also be controlling it, but they're certainly not expecting to either. As it stands at the moment, Labour have a very small handful of seats on KCC, and I hear they're not expecting to get many more than they already have.
And of course, just remind us as to what power these councillors have when they are elected. What are they going to be doing and deciding on going forward for the next few years?
As it stands at the moment, before the restructuring of local government, County Council is responsible for most of the responsibilities you think of as local council, which aren't run by your district council. So there's a weird sort of split of responsibilities, but the easiest way to explain it is your district council collects your bins, your county council runs the HWRC where you go to the tip and throw everything away. They're also responsible for a lot larger and more expensive things like transport. They coordinate the provision of bus services, that kind of thing. They're responsible for most of the roads, and they're also responsible for social care, which is by far their largest spending commitment. So while it seems a bit abstract and zoomed out, they're responsible for an awful lot of services, and they control a massive budget. But their main priority, as well as running those services, is going to be how they get integrated into future authorities, because the whole thing is going to be abolished in a couple of years, and there'll be probably four councils across all of Kent which will do all of these services instead.
If reform is in power by the end of today, do we already know who the new Kent County Council leader will be? Has that all been decided?
Not as far as I know. They'll have to elect a group leader, because it stands at the moment they have only a few councillors, and I think they won in one. I think a couple of them won in by-elections, and a couple of them are defectors from the Conservatives. So they'll have to vote between themselves on who a new leader will be. I personally don't really know who are the front runners for that, but if reform wins enough seats to take a majority or to be the largest group and govern as a minority with support from others, they're going to have a very busy day ahead of them choosing who's the head honcho.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what happens if there is no overall majority? Just give us that scenario, just in case things don't go quite as we were expecting.
When no one political group has a majority control of a council, the council's in what they call no overall control. Essentially, what that means is the largest single voting bloc, which doesn't necessarily have to align with a political party, takes control of the council, or you can have a minority if they can't possibly work for anyone else. So, for example, you can have, say the Conservatives are five seats away from a majority, they could govern as a minority with the sort of tacit, explicit or implicit agreement of independence that they'll vote with them on some things, or if there's a minority and nobody wants to work with them, the largest minority governs. So essentially, there will still be an administration one way or another. That's how the cabinet system works. But the arithmetic could make it quite difficult for any one party to govern. But someone will have to find a way to. And it's possible there could be a minority government or a very, very large coalition to command enough votes to get policy through.
Kent Online News.
Taking a look at other news that's happening around the county now. A teenage boy has been arrested after a man in his 30s was stabbed in Folkestone. He was flown to hospital after emergency crews were called to Ford Road yesterday afternoon. A 17-year-old is in custody. A man's appeared in court after a car driver was allegedly threatened with a weapon in Folkestone. Police were called to Manor Road last month. A 30-year-old from Ashford is accused of several offences, including possessing an imitation firearm and Class A drugs. A Tunbridge Wells man who repeatedly abused a girl more than 50 years ago has been jailed. Brian Bissell has been found guilty of attacks carried out during the 1960s and 70s. The OD 2-year-old from Sandhurst Road has been locked up for 16 years. Nine people accused of being involved in a break-in in Sandwich have appeared in court. Police were called to a business at Discovery Park in June last year. The group, aged between 21 and 52, were charged with violent disorder, criminal damage and aggravated burglary.
Kent Online News.
The number of asylum seekers who have crossed the channel so far this year has now reached 11,000. Another 294 people arrived in five small boats on Wednesday. The government insists they're putting measures in place to crack down on smuggling gangs. The M20 is back open today after a lorry fire caused major disruption for drivers. The London-bound stretch near Junction 11 for Hythe was closed for around 10 hours yesterday. No one was hurt and it's unclear what caused the blaze. Three Kent beaches have been awarded brown flags for having some of the worst bathing water quality in England. Coastal spots at Littlestone, Deal Castle and Dymchurch have all been rated poor by the Environment Agency. It's after potentially unsafe levels of bacteria were found in the sea.
Kent Online News.
A French teacher at a school in Tunbridge Wells has been banned from the profession after helping students cheat in their GCSEs. Louisa Yackett was found to have mouthed answers to pupils, told them to rewrite their notes and allowed them to have practice runs during their oral exams. It happened at the Skinner's Kent Academy, where she was head of the Modern Foreign Language Department in 2022. A Maidstone woman who booked a £3,000 family holiday to Sri Lanka before being diagnosed with a brain tumour says she's had to fight to get a refund. Liz Munro will need to undergo 16 hours of surgery and months of recovery, but broker Flight Catchers and Etihad Airways initially said the cancellation of the flights was voluntary. Bosses at Flight Catchers have since offered a full refund, but it's prompted warning from experts to always take out travel insurance. Plans to install a Ferris wheel at Ashford Designer Outlet have been slammed, with some people saying it's a shopping centre, not an amusement park. Earlier this week, we told you how bosses want to open the wheel in the car park this July. It would be open for rides 7 days a week. Some are worried it would make getting in and out of the outlet impossible, while others think it's a good way to attract customers. £10 million is being spent on a new pool and water slide at the Haven Holiday Park in Kent. We're told the new leisure facility at the site in All Hallows will open toward the end of the 2025 season. 50 pitches are also going to be added in the coming year.
Kent Online News.
A swimming pool in Medway is going to close for more than a month for improvement works. £1 million is being spent on upgrading the changing rooms and boosting energy efficiency at Hoo Sports Centre. The pool will be shut from the 19th of May until June 30th. Wingham Wildlife Park has lodged a bid to expand and build one of the country's largest indoor tiger houses. Bosses of the site near Canterbury also want to use agricultural land next door for new enclosures for pygmy hippos and bears. No date has been set yet for when a decision will be made. Plans for a footbridge over a railway line in Ashford have been resubmitted after previous applications were deemed too expensive. It would link two housing developments in Kennington and replace a pedestrian crossing over the rail line between Ashford and Wye. Similar proposals were approved in 2023, but they've now been revised by Network Rail. A new Sports Direct store is going to be open at Sittingbourne Retail Park. It's replacing the former Carpet Ride, which closed last year when the company fell into administration. Sports Direct is moving in following the sale of its branch in the High Street.
Kent Online News.
Rochester's iconic Sweeps Festival is back this bank holiday weekend. It's an annual celebration that brings Morris dancers, street vendors and family attractions together along the historic High Street and in the castle grounds. It's hoped the fine weather will mean there's a strong turnout to give local businesses a boost as we head into the summer. Claire Tierney owns Smoke, a restaurant on the High Street. She and I have been having a chat.
Hopefully the Sweeps will be a success and we'll have some real boost to the economic revenue available over the weekend. So hopefully everyone will get a boost. That would be really good if that is the case. And obviously it will set everyone up for the summer. So fingers crossed.
Because it does attract, I think the last figure I saw was sort of 55,000 people across the weekend. It's quite a lot of footfall. So I bet you're pleased that the weather's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also I think there's quite a variety. The bandwidth over the weekend is quite different. On Saturday, we tend to see a lot more of the hardcore sort of music fans who are obviously coming to see some fantastic music that's programmed throughout the High Street, into the Castle Gardens, Bowley Hill. It's everywhere. It's also programmed into a lot of the pubs all the way into the evening. So it really is a 3-day festival. And then on Sunday, we tend to see more families coming into the High Street, which is really lovely. It takes on a very different feel on the Sunday. And then on Monday, obviously, we have the Green Man Parade and celebrate the May Day. So there's actually, I think, something for everyone across those 3 days, which is really, really nice. And the East Gate has got a really different look and feel this year. And it's really been enhanced to sort of encourage it to be more of a family area. We've got a real sort of mystic, magical vibe to it with we've got some witches here with potions, tarot readers, the psychics are here again in Psychic Alley. We've got a full fairy garden in the Eastgate Garden, and we are introducing 3 new photo walls for everyone to take some shots. in the East Gate. We've got a green man wall, we have a fairy wall, and there's a wizard and witch wall at the end of Psychic Alley. So you can take as many photos as you like. And I think they're going to run a competition on Instagram. So if everyone wants to upload their pictures as they pass through the East Gate, then I think someone's going to be lucky and win something. And I think it's all going to be voted for the picture walls, which will be really nice. Be lovely to see the kids all dressed up. We've got face painting stations in two different locations in the East Gate that we've photo opportunities and the face painting. So I'm hoping everyone's going to kind of really get involved and just enjoy it. Yeah. Get some face paint on, bit of sparkle, a few flowers.
That's it. Just lean into the celebration.
Just get into it. Yeah. Just lean into it. Absolutely. Lean into it. I like that.
We've spoken before. It is a difficult time for traders and small local businesses in particular. Are we hoping that this is sort of going to be a taster session, really, that people can come to Rochester and get a little taste, a little bit of an idea of what they've got to offer to bring people back, not just during the festival?
Absolutely. The main incentive here, and we work really closely with the events team on this, and, you know, the portfolio holders that obviously have to find this budget, which is a huge budget to find at the moment, but they're very supportive and 100% invested, is the best outcome for us with these events is repeat footfall. It's not just about the 3 days. It's not just about the Dickens weekend. It's about encouraging the footfall that visit to come back again, or to fall in love with, you know, a particular restaurant or a certain part of the high street, or even just find a new place to, you know, explore within the high street where they think they've already done it. So understanding like the difference and the different vibe and how unique the East Gate is compared to being at the Castle End. It's being able to really explore the entire footprint of the High Street and find places for you to come back to. And that's the ultimate outcome that we really want from these kind of events. We want you to have a fantastic time, but we also want you to fall in love with us and come back for another reason.
It's on from tomorrow until Monday. A new initiative in Canterbury will see more than 400 tracking tags given out to motorcycle owners across the district. Police hope it will act as a strong deterrent to thieves while also providing live data for any bikes that do go missing. There'll be an event in Canterbury today and in Herne Bay next Friday for owners to have the devices installed. Joel Dommett is bringing his new stand-up tour to the Churchill Theatre in Bromley later this month. The masked singer-presenter is going back to his comedy roots for the show called Happy Idiot. It's on at the Churchill on Monday the 12th of May. Our preparations are underway across the county as we get ready to commemorate the 80th anniversary of VE Day. There'll be road closures over Kent and Medway for street parties and celebrations. Plenty of shops and homes have started putting up their flags and bunting already. Helen is organising a street party in Rochester. She's been talking to Lucy.
We started doing the street parties for the Queen's Jubilee, and it brought everybody together and everyone really enjoyed it. So then we did another one for the King's coronation. And so when we saw that we could do it for the VE Day, we also then decided to hold another one.
That's brilliant. And how important do you think it is for people to still sort of commemorate VE Day?
Very important.
And especially, I suppose, for younger people as well, sort of get families together and sort of have that sort of community feel.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why we're doing the street party, is to bring everybody together. People have got their grandkids coming, people have got family members coming. So I think we've got over 40 people, 40 adults and about 12 children coming to this party.
Exciting. And what have you got planned for the day?
Just lots of food, lots of drink, maybe a few games, music, just a chance to get everybody together, get everyone chatting.
What's the kind of atmosphere like for these street parties that you've held in the past?
It's really good fun. Yeah, we put bunting up and just say everybody has a good time, and it's just a way to bring the whole road kind of together, you know, so that you're not just, you know, strangers sort of thing, but actually, you know, you can have a chat with someone and, yeah, just I think it feels like it brings a good community.
Yeah, I suppose, especially when people are busy working, you might sort of say hi to your neighbours in passing, but you don't really get to know them as much.
No, and it's led to invites to sort of, so one of the neighbours, it was his 60th birthday, so he invited people to that. We did sort of a charity event for raising money for Ukraine. So it leads to other things as well.
The actual anniversary is on May 8th, which is next Thursday.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham are getting ready for their final game of the season this weekend. They travel to take on promoted Port Vale, who could still be crowned League Two champions. The Gills will be hoping to slightly spoil the party by maintaining their unbeaten run, which is currently at 11 games. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Boys have been really good. Because obviously, the last game of the season, crunch time for a lot of teams. And we are in one of those games where Port Vale, fantastic football club, you know, real big piece of my career and a place in my heart, but I'll be wanting to burst the bubble. You know, they love me because I was passionate, because I gave everything. I'm going to give everything for my team, and hopefully we can you know give a surprise to the league, because people will say that Port Vale probably get the title now, and they've got Gillingham, and hopefully they don't beat us. But listen, I was glad they got promoted. I didn't want to come there and do anything to damage their promotion hopes. Darren Moore is a good friend of mine. Port Vale have deserved to go up this year. They've got the points that they have, and I'm really pleased. You know, I'm not going to hide behind it and say this and that. Port Vale's one of my clubs, you know, I'm really pleased. But so was Wimbledon, and that was hard to see that one go. So we're going up there. We want to win the game. We know what's on it. It's going to be a full house. It's going to be a great atmosphere, and I want my boys to enjoy it. But absolutely go for the win, because we'd love to finish the season unbeaten and on a high. And I'll be talking to the boys. There's contract discussions going on with a lot. There's recruitment discussions going on, and an actual infrastructure of the club. You know, there's a lot to change. There's a lot to get stuck into over the summer. You know, it's not going to be last game, lights off, see you on July the 1st. No way. There's a few things going on during the summer, but I'll be focused totally on getting a strong squad and a strong structure for an identity of Gillingham going into League Two next year.
Goalkeeper Glenn Morris isn't put off by their rivals pushing for the title, and says sometimes younger players in the squad need to see it.
I think sometimes it's good for players to see it, because you can see what it means to them and the fans and everything, and you want a bit of it. And I think if the boys can see it, it might be a good thing. So you have to look at the positives of that as well. You know, obviously it's not nice, but you know, take something from it.
Staying with football, and Sittingbourne are in action in the Isthmian South East final tonight. They made it through after beating Merstham 4-2 on Tuesday night. Ryan Maxwell's side faced Burgess Hill, who beat Margate. Kickoff is at 7:45. To cricket, and Jamal Richards is joining Kent from Essex on loan. The bowling all-rounder will be able to play in their next two championship games. He's included in the squad for their Middlesex match getting underway at Lord's today. Last time the two sides met, Kent won by 8 wickets. And in table tennis, Kent Will Bailey says he's excited for his first tournament since winning Paralympic silver in Paris last September. He's taking part in two competitions in Slovenia over the next couple of weeks. The 37-year-old from Tunbridge Wells is taking part in both the singles and doubles, and says he's looking forward to the challenge. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. And if you're like me and have no idea what to do with this fabulous summery long weekend in Kent, head to the What's On page on our website and take a look at everything the county has to offer over the next 3 days.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.